The Cap and J-Hood podcast is sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Go to titoshometowntales.com and hear the stories of Chicago's defining sports moments through the lens of your favorite ESPN 1000 hosts. That's titoshometowntales.com.
What a way to start the day.
Our new morning show, Cap and J-Hood.
Mornings on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
That's why I see.
Shot. No shot. With Cap and J-Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
That's why I see him in my shot.
Shot or no shot. Brought to you by PointsBet Sportsbook at Hawthorne Racecourse. PointsBet Sportsbook is now open. Download the PointsBet app right now and stop by Hawthorne Racecourse and register your account. And we'll take the 10th caller right now. 312-332-3776. A few lines that are now open. You get $100 in onsite Hawthorne Racecourse wagers, another $100 in PointsBet Sportsbook wagers. You get horse racing programs, branded gift items, nice little package, and you could turn those wagers into some serious, serious cash. Danny, good morning to you.
Good morning, Kaplan.
What the hell is going on?
Sorry.
He's pulling his crank out.
Got a little stuff going on back here. How are you, boys?
He's got his microphone crank, just making sure it's steady. Nothing wrong with that.
What's up, boys? How's everything?
We are all good. And by the way, again, people out there, listen all day long. Any breaking news, we will be all over it. Ken Rosenthal just tweeting, combination deal. Zach Davies and either Baez or Bryant, a possibility for the Mets.
We'll keep our eyes on it. And we want to thank everybody, Danny, that was out there at Buttermilk Cafe. Cap and I had a great time meeting a lot of people from Vernon Hills. I learned a lot about Vernon Hills.
Yes.
With my time out there. We'll have another Bite of the Apple, by the way, at the Buttermilk Cafe.
Next Thursday.
Pretty soon. Next Thursday, right?
Look forward to it.
So thanks for everybody that came out there. Just stopped by to have breakfast with us. A lot of fun.
Great to meet Sarah, who came over. She's a big fan of the show.
Big fan of the sundress.
Yes. She was beautiful. Danny.
All right, gentlemen, we spent the first hour talking about Anthony Rizzo, who you heard every Tuesday here at 9:35 on the Cap and Jay Hood Show. Let's start with Anthony Rizzo. Gentlemen, quickly, shot or no shot, Anthony Rizzo will be a statue on Clark and Addison one day.
That's a shot.
Absolute shot. Absolute shot. I think they will retire his number.
And deserves it. I mean, this past hour, will tell you all you need to know about how Anthony Rizzo affected people in their lives, not just because he's great in the community, but also just him being a Chicago Cub, what that means to Cub fans, no question he deserves a statue.
Will he get his own statue, or will there be just like you guys have at Guaranteed Rate, you have that like little plaza area with the memorabilia or the memory carved in it of winning the World Series in 05? Would it be like Rizzo with his hands up and Bryant kind of slipping and all of that, or the dog pile on the mount, or will he get his own statue?
Well, if it was Jerry, you get both.
There you go.
It was Jerry, and there's no question. Give me the action shot where he catches the ball, and then give me the entire team. That's how I like that. I want to do that. And then give one for Shingo.
What? Who? Danny.
Gentlemen, there is a lot of action with the MLB trade deadline, but let's not forget the Bears are at Halas Hall practicing. Yesterday, Matt Nagy spent a lot of time at his press conference talking about tight end Cole Kmet. He said that Nagy said that he and Cole Kmet were able to meet individually during the offseason program to watch clips and routes that they want to feature the second-year tight end in this upcoming season. They were not able to do that last year because of the pandemic. Also during the offseason, Cole Kmet connected with Travis Kelce, the Chiefs tight end, and he took part in Tight End University that Kelce helps run with Greg Olsen and 49ers star tight end George Kittle. Last season, Cole Kmet had 28 receptions for 243 yards and 2 touchdowns. I ask you guys simply, shot or no shot, this season Cole Kmet will double all those numbers.
That's a no shot only because Graham's still there in the red zone. Right, Cap? I mean, I expect his numbers to increase, but I don't know about that level.
I'm going to say shot because they are so focused on getting Cole Kmet more involved, and I really believe they look at him and think that guy is our future as a really, really impactful receiver.
So what do you
expect? I'm going to say shot.
So what do you expect from Jimmy Graham then?
Not a lot.
You don't expect him to get those red zone touchdowns this
year? But I don't think as much as last year. I don't.
I just know that you got a valuable guy that's been there and done that. If he's healthy, that can climb the ladder like a basketball player that he was and get those tough touchdowns. Is Kmet ready for that? We'll see.
We'll find out.
We'll see.
Well, go by it stat by stat. So 28 receptions. If you double that, that's 56. Shot or no shot, he gets 56 catches.
Shot. Absolute shot. I guaranteed 40.
I think
14
that's fair.
Sacks. Is that what I guaranteed? 14 sacks between Mac and Robert Quinn.
Right.
14 sacks, and I'll guarantee 56 catches for Cole Kmet.
50 catches for a starting tight end in a, on a team that uses the tight end seems reasonable, right?
100%.
243 yards doubled is 486. Did you see how quickly I did that math, boys?
Not surprised.
If he has 50 catches, 486.
That'd be the first Kansas grad to ever do that.
Well, I got to go there. 486 yards seems reasonable, right?
It seems reasonable, yes. I'm still concerned about how many balls that Graham will have. Because that cuts into it to me. If it was a lesser tight end, a Horsted, like some guy like that, then I would say for sure that...
Who?
J.P. Horsted.
Yeah, I forgot that.
He's in the NFL.
Yeah, he's in the NFL. Yeah. Tight end.
Plays football.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
And four touchdowns, I think, is a lock, right? I think no matter what, he's getting more than four touchdowns.
Yes, agreed. Agreed.
All right, gentlemen, back to baseball. So the Dodgers are going to finalize a deal to acquire star right-handed pitcher Max Scherzer and star shortstop Trey Turner from the Nationals for a massive prospect haul. This trade is a blockbuster. I ask you guys, shot or no shot, the Dodgers are going to win the World Series.
That's a shot because they just don't stop. Their payroll now is at $275 million. Like, nobody close. I was reading a bunch of articles in New York last night about the trade to get Rizzo, and they got Joey Gallo, and they want to add pitching. First of all, one of the quotes from an unnamed general manager they had talked to said, basically what the Cubs did is they bought, because they ate all of Rizzo's money, the Yankees are paying not $1 of Rizzo. Did you see that hoodie?
Yeah, I did see it.
Not a dollar.
I read it.
And they said, basically, Tom Ricketts told his GM, just go buy two good prospects.
Sure.
Here's the money. It's already a sunk cost. It's already in our budget. Go do it. But they also said that the Steinbrenners, who we praise, oh boy, the Yankees will spend, they were told to stay under the luxury tax.
Yes. You know why? Because you haven't been able to ring the bell and win the World Series in a long time.
Correct.
You don't get to spend the money, because Cashman, because you don't spend it right.
Correct.
So now, that's really the case.
Now, they felt that if whoever popped up at the last second, they could eke over that number, but he wanted it as far down as he could get it. So in case they have to go a little bit over, he's got wiggle room. They're not on an unlimited budget anymore. The daddy ain't around anymore.
Okay, I'll say no shot and just go with the Padres. But I'll bring up this little caveat. Cav, I'm sure you saw this. The Dodgers 40-man roster now includes four MVP winners with eight Cy Young Award trophies among the four pitchers.
Wow.
This happens because the Dodgers foresee Bauer not returning to the team. So what do? You find another Cy Young Award winner to replace him.
Correct. And again, that report from Mike DiGiovanni, who's covered that team forever in California, that the majority of the locker room said, we don't want Trevor Bauer back ever again. Under any certain, whether he's acquitted, not charged, the charges are baseless, whatever it is. We don't like him. We don't want him here.
They can see the train coming down the tunnel, and they're like, okay, forget this. We're going to pass on him and just upgrade our position. So I'll just go off the board, Danny, and I'll say the Padres. But if you are a Dodger fan, or even a Padre fan, you love the commitment to winning. That's what you're looking for. You're spending money, and you're going all out, anything you can to win the World Series. And again, the White Sox are on the outside looking in with that so far. We'll see. But I like the spending. I like the trade, the aggressiveness from the GMs of those teams.
Danny.
If you're a fan of LA teams, there's another blockbuster trade for you. Russell Westbrook headed to the Lakers. Happened last night during the NBA draft. Westbrook is a huge name. He's headed to LA to join LeBron and AD on that Lakers roster. I asked you guys a double-barreled shot or no shot. Shot or no shot, LeBron James is the man behind this trade.
Shot.
And shot or no shot, LeBron will grow to regret this decision.
Shot. Double shot. Double shot. Two shots there, Cap. Two shots there.
Unless Russell Westbrook said, I don't care anymore about triple-doubles and numbers and all of that. I just want to win. This is his fourth team. You brought that up in the I-Dot bullpen.
Stretch! My calves
I-Dot,
hurt.
Driving, biking, or walking responsibly really is a matter of life or death. My camp's cramping. Learn more through social media at lifeordeathillinois.com. I can't see the freaking monitor because I'm short.
Well, Cap, it's right in front of me, and I don't have to stretch, but you go right ahead, though. You keep hurting yourself.
But anyway, now I lost my train of thought.
No, the Westbrook deal.
Oh, yeah. Four teams in 4 years for one of the most talented guys in the history of the game.
Well, just understand one thing about Westbrook. He only has one switch. It's on.
Yep.
So he's not stopping with the triple-doubles. But here's the question, though, Coach. I need Coach Cap for this. I don't need Cub Cap. I need Coach Cap, mm-hmm. the guy with the X's and O's, yep. the guy with the clipboard.
Yep.
How many timeouts we got? Two. Why didn't you tell me? So take that. Be louder with it. Next time, tell me how many timeouts we got. Jesus. I want Coach Cap. So I need Coach Cap.
You want the guy who chased Tom Clark, Big Ten official, off the court at Ball State
yes.
and said, "You're horrible. You cost us that game." We lost 93-58. That's a true story. I got reprimanded by the commissioner of the MAC conference, and I had to go into their locker room and apologize.
I want Coach Cap for this. So what are you doing, Cap, with Westbrook? Are you playing him off the ball? Because you barely need a point guard. And you know that Westbrook likes to run the point because he's got to get his assists and his rebounds and all that. So they don't have a point guard. Schroeder is still a free agent right now.
He's not going back there.
So what do you do? So you got Anthony Davis, you got LeBron, and you got Westbrook. If he has the ball in his hands, like it's not like it's gloom and doom, but it's like – you need him to be able to get to the basket and not shoot from the outside because he's a horrible shooter.
Well, I'm sure they had discussions. It's not the Packers management running it. I'm sure they sat down with LeBron and said, do you want to be basically the point guard of this team? He has the ball in his hands all the time anyway.
Right.
And then I'm sure they talked to Russell and said, here's the deal. This is not about your numbers. It's about simply trying to win. And if I'm him, my legacy is secure. I'm going to the Hall of Fame on the first freaking ballot. So, yes, I just want to win. Please, I want to get a ring. Okay, then you have to be willing to defer.
You know he won't say it out loud because he's emotional, but in his eyes, you could tell he would be telling you through his eyes, Cap, I can't shoot anymore, but I can go to the basket. I can get to the foul line. Mm-hmm. I can make others better with at least 10 assists. I can give you 10 or more points, 15 or more points. But I can't shoot from the outside because I shoot less than 30% from three.
Right.
So what do you do there? Because they need shooting badly. Badly. I'm from the outside.
Because their 6'9 man-child, LeBron,
right.
is so good at handling the ball at that size, I think it has a chance to work if Russell's bought in.
I can't do anything besides just give you triple-doubles.
Like if Russell ends up on the Timberwolves next year, you'll know it was a dismal failure. Danny.
It's interesting.
Gentlemen, that is all the time we have for Shot.
On,
guys, it was great
more.
Great debate by
one
you guys. No, I don't want to just throw away a good one. I'll bring it up in the folder.
Tyler, do you have anything? Tyler?
All right. See you today. The White Sox got better yesterday as well.
Danny?
Not real sexy moves, but solid. We break down Danny? Their trade decisions and more of your calls.
Danny?
Next.
Danny, got anything?
Take that.
Danny?
It's Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's Home for Sports. Follow the show on Twitter at CapJHood. This is ESPN 1000.
Again, it's trade deadline day. We expect more to go down, in fact, a lot more to go down with the Cubs. So if you're in the car and you're like, more? Yes, there are multiple reports. Zach Davies and Chris Bryant and Javi Baez are all involved on deal talks with the New York Mets, who are also looking at Trevor Story. But
all that Mets anger, that's away from you. You want Bryant to go to the Mets? You still got a little anger on the Mets from 69 or no?
I don't like the Mets. From 69.
Yeah.
I do not. But the Mets are not at the level, for me, that the Cardinals are.
Boy, they spend, boy. Yeah, I understand your point, but with the new owner, it looks like they're going to try to go for it too.
Correct. And the report I was told last night by someone who would know, Jed has hung a substantial price tag on any kind of deal like that, and the Mets are like, no, that's too much. He said, okay, that's fine. I'll give him a qualifying offer, and I'll keep him. Good luck. The Giants are chasing Bryant. The Rays are now in on Bryant and Kimbrel. So there's suitors out there.
Don't BS now. You can just get rid. You want to get rid of some of these players? That's fine. Help the farm system. Let's go.
That's
help the help. Because otherwise, you're just like, well, I'm selling off these parts, and we don't want them anymore. Okay. So what does your minor league system look like now? If you are not, you can't say I don't want to give you hyperbole cap and give you substantially better, but you've got to get better and start planting some seeds in that farm system so those guys will be ready in 3 years or less, hopefully.
Agreed.
Otherwise, then what's the point of all of this?
Agreed. Well said. So the White Sox need a second base option. Yeah. They go get Cesar Hernandez. Now he's, what, hitting 230, whatever. Yeah. He's a competent glove. He's got 18 home runs, so he gives you some pop. You still have Mendick. You have Leury Garcia. And it doesn't tie your hands going forward because Madrigal will be back next season.
Yeah,
he's out for the year.
We got less than.
And then
we didn't get what we wanted, though, in that spot. Slash line of 231, 307, 431. Yeah, 18 homers in his second year with the Indians. And that's fine, but that name was never hot.
No, it never. Is not. But what we were told is the price to acquire a really high-level second baseman, like putting Trevor Story there,
yeah.
White Sox tried hard. And they were insistent, okay, we'll take Michael Kopech, no shot. We'll take Andrew Vaughn, no shot. Rick would not move those guys in any type of deal.
I wonder, was Berger ever in the conversation? I wonder.
Great question.
Now, if you say no to the first two, I get it, right?
Mm-hmm.
I expect Kopech to be in the rotation next year.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I expect.
Correct.
And you mentioned at Buttermilk yesterday, you made a great point. Because you quoted La Russa saying that he saw Kopech as Wainwright.
Correct.
From his St. Louis days,
Wainwright,
right?
He said we used him. They won the World Series.
Mm-hmm.
He said we used him in high leverage relief situations.
Mm-hmm.
Then we spent all off season. He said it's a different mentality you pitch with. It's a different skill set you pitch with. He'll be another year out of Tommy John. Mm-hmm. And hopefully the hamstring will be all healed up and good. And next year he plugs into the rotation because Rodon's moving on.
You get what you trade for.
That is correct.
That's not what I expected, but I mean, if you're going to give me him, Leury Garcia, Mendick, you know, at least that's a stopgap measure at second base.
But you have enough offense, Abreu, Vaughn, Anderson, Moncada, Robert, Jimenez, Engel, Gavin Sheets.
Yeah.
There's a lot of offense there, man. You're going to get Grandal back at some point.
Mm-hmm.
I would not be surprised if they add a defensive type of catcher like Martin Maldonado's on Houston.
Yeah.
Cubs picked him up a few years ago because they needed just a defensive stalwart back there.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't shock me if they made a move like that. We've talked about Jacob Stallings from the Pirates. I think they'll do something just to have someone in the system. There could be a release guy like Robinson Chirinos,
sure,
is with the Cubs. They picked him up. That type of guy who's at least capable, competent.
You know, I've always thought the Cubs-Sox trades have always been fascinating. Like, they've always been fascinating over the years. There haven't been that many because one side of town doesn't want to help the other, but the Cubs know exactly what direction that they're going, and they're like, okay, we'll give you Tapera because there's no use for him on a bad ball club. Just give us something back in return. Did you like the return that the Cubs got for Tapera?
Yeah, they took a lottery ticket on a hard-throwing, I think he's a lefty,
mm-hmm,
hard-throwing guy. You throw 20 of those in the system, and you hope that two of them pan out. That's how tough it is. You're not going to get much more for a rental of Ryan Tapera. And for the White Sox, hey, man, that's couch change. Take him.
Yeah.
Good luck. And if he turns into something, all the better.
It's better that you have Tapera on the roster if you're a Sox fan than having to depend on or Raymond Burr.
Correct.
Because you saw what that looks like. And in September, into the playoffs, those guys are less than. Sorry. I mean, like, Bummer is someone that I could depend on.
Yep.
But here's what you don't want. You just don't want to just keep going with, here's my starter, here's Kopech, here's Hendricks. It's got to be two or three other guys in the bullpen that you can rely on in a playoff scenario. And correct. I think that Tapera could be one of those guys.
Yeah, in the end, if you could have Tapera, somebody else they add, Michael Kopech, Aaron Bummer, Garrett Crochet,
yeah.
Liam Hendricks.
I can work with that.
You can work with that. So we'll see what they do today. They did try hard on Trevor Story. And in the end, the price was just extreme for a rental.
Yeah, thank goodness that you have maybe more likely Robert coming back. Aloy's already there. And he'll be healthy again. That's the hope, right? He'll be healthy again. Mm-hmm. And I still side on the... I'm still on the side of having Aloy DH more than play left field. I don't care what he wants. I don't need that guy hurt. I need his bat. As the Sox have struggled against Kansas City, and now you're going backwards offensively, you need to have all hands on deck. And that means to have quality guys offensively, Aloy, Robert being part of that. Grandal would help. The batting average aside, look at what he does with on-base percentage. So those are the positives for me.
Let's go back to the phones, and Todd wants to weigh in on Anthony Rizzo. Hey, Todd, what's up?
Hey, Captain Jay Hood from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Love the show.
Appreciate you.
I just want to make one point. I mean, first of all, thankful for the 16 World Series, Baez, Bryant, Rizzo. But we're in the shoes we're in for one reason and one reason only. The inability to draft impactful starting pitching. It's why you had to trade for the Buick in 17. It's why you had no one to replace when Lester aged. I mean, you can only trade and buy pitching so long. You have to have it come through the farm system. And it's just wild. You remember the drafts in 12, 13. They would go impactful position player, and then it would be like 10 straight pitchers.
None of them made it. It's a very, very lucid, well-thought-out point, Todd. Have a great day, man, okay?
Thank you, Cap. Love the show.
Appreciate you. Yeah, they did an awful, awful job in player development. It's just a fact. Just a fact. And if you go back to 2012, I'd love to ask Theo and Jed the question. Mm-hmm. If you could go back to 2012, how bad were you in terms of drafting and developing? Like, you would never take Albert Almora again, sixth overall.
Right.
You would probably not take Kyle Schwarber, fourth overall. I've had multiple guys over there go, yeah, we loved him, but we shouldn't have taken him that high. He never thought he was going that high in the draft. Fourth, I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Bryant was an outstanding pick. No doubt about it. Ian Happ, ninth? Ninth? Come on, man.
How do you think Theo built the Red Sox? Spending money.
Yeah, well, they did do a really good job to give them their credit.
Yeah.
Dustin Pedroia, really good draft pick. John Lester, really good draft pick. I mean, you can go back. They were better drafting and developing than they were here.
I would say, ultimately, though, the bottom line was is that he was over two teams that spent money to be able to get to where they need to be. You're right. Comparing to the Cubs, the Red Sox did a better job of developing talent. But once he got here, once Theo got here, it was about Ricketts and his pocketbook and picking the right players for the right time to get a World Series championship and have sustained success.
Correct. And a lot of things fell in the right place for them. Let's not forget that when John Lester became a free agent, he said, if I did not know Theo and Jed, I would never have signed here. Turned out to be, he said, one of the greatest adventures his family's ever gone on. He loved it here. Loved it. But if John Lester had never been traded by Boston,
right,
he's not leaving. He had said that a million times. I would never have left. Once they traded him to Oakland, he went, oh, there's life outside Boston. And so he came here. But if Theo and Jed did not have a pre-existing relationship, they never get him. So a lot of things had to go right for them.
My man, as a White Sox fan, looking through the knot hole in the fence at the Cubs, when Theo came to the Cubs, I said, oh bleep. Here we go.
Here we go.
And then the Lester deal cinched everything because that meant a commitment. Like, Lester believed in what Theo was selling, and when Lester signed with the Cubs, I go, you know, they're going to win a World Series. I said, I didn't know when, but under Theo's regime, the Cubs are going to be successful, and they're going to win a World Series. I saw it. As a Sox fan, as a White Sox fan, I saw this with Boston. I'm like, oh, God, look at that. Look at the money they're spending. Look at the fortunes changed for a bad franchise in the Red Sox. I said, the Cubs are going to get the same thing. And all my Cub fan friends, including Sylvie, didn't believe me. But I said, I saw it on the other side. I know what Theo could do.
A friend of mine who's a scout in the league, who's always a great resource to run things by, said to me last night, I know Cubs fans are mad. He said, this needs to happen. But he said, look back. The 97 Marlins won it, cleaned house. They won it again in 03. He said, I'm just telling you, man, it can be done. It's not easy, but it can be done. He goes, and where the Marlins didn't have the type of budgets you guys have, he goes, you make some astute trades and you draft well, and then you go in with your checkbook when necessary. He goes, you could turn it quick. We'll see. 312-332-3776. Brad is in Skokie, where I grew up. Hey, Brad, what's up?
Good morning, gents. Want to say, behind all the emotion and the heroics of Anthony Rizzo is the fact that he was one of the few unvaccinated folks on the team. Wanted to hear your opinions as to how that factored into Jed shipping him off.
Well, and appreciate the call, Brad. So that became public on this show.
Yes, it did.
You and I were talking to him. And I've had people go, do you think when you asked that question that affected? Do you think the Cubs didn't already know?
Of course the Cubs knew.
Exactly. They know who's vaccinated and who's not. It's not like they found out. Like, oh, did you hear what Riz said? We didn't know that. They knew already. And he's not the only one in there. Bodie, Hayward, Sogard, Arrieta.
All right.
You know, I love Caps outing them all.
Oh, Jesus.
I have before.
No, not in the list like that.
Oh, I
have. You kind of spread it out sometimes. You did.
Sounds like Aaron Rodgers.
Hey, man, I'm going to just be honest with you. That's a fact. That's the crew that's not vaccinated.
All right, let's not.
So, if we want to get society vaccinated, we should have, like, a list of all the people in Chicago that aren't. And on, like, Sunday mornings, Cap could just read the list.
Yeah, like the school closings list.
Like the scarlet letter Cap's giving them.
Skinner, comma, Mike.
Jones, Robert.
Take that after each one. Aaron, Sally, take that. Just go and do the list time and time again.
Like, district 217.
The whole district. Take that. Is he going through the scarlet? He's going through the list. I can't believe our name's being mentioned.
So, no, I do not believe that was a factor at all. I don't.
However, it's a great question by Brad, because that was asked by someone in the Chicago media.
Yes.
Do you feel like you needed to sell off some of these? It was to Jed.
Uh-huh.
Do you think you need to sell off some of these parts to get to your certain threshold for vaccination?
Correct.
That's ridiculous. No. Correct. Yes, yes, yes.
We did have an agent the other day in the NFL say he had a player who he thought could make an NFL roster. He said, I'm not telling you he's a superstar, but I have a player that wanted to sign. And I had multiple teams say, we'd sign that guy. Is he vaccinated? No, not interested. Thanks. We'll pass.
It's a good question, but you knew that all of this was inevitable. Whoever is vaccinated, who's not vaccinated, doesn't matter, that you know that the Cubs are going to sell off some of their parts.
There you go.
You just know that it was going to happen.
Jesse Rogers, our insider, on what's next for the Chicago Cubs
Rogers,
and the White
Jesse.
Sox.
Next.
You don't have to wait till you're in your car to hear what Cap and Jay Hood are talking about. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Hey, this hour has been brought to you by Valparaiso University. Satisfaction that comes with living to your full potential is immeasurable. Wherever you take your career, name it, Valpo will help get you there. Learn more at valpo.edu. Jesse Rogers, fueled by the Pride Stores, not your typical convenience store. Check out one of their 15 Chicagoland locations today.
Jesse's in Washington, D.C., and he's just there to cover Juan Soto, because that's all that's left.
Exactly.
In D.C.
Yes. Yep.
Yes.
Juan Soto and some guy out of the minors for the Cubs.
Right. Kyle Hendricks versus Juan Soto is the highlight of the weekend, whenever that happens. Yeah, it's crazy. Both teams gutting themselves here and retooling. We'll see what happens today. I mean, I think now that Rizzo's gone, and all bets are off. I mean, I obviously Kimbrough's going to be gone. There's no doubt in my mind there. Pretty sure Bryant's going to be gone. I don't think Baez is going, but I'm not ruling anything out at this point. Once you trade Anthony Rizzo, all bets are off. And I'll just say this. Back in 2012, around then, what the Cubs did well in rebuilding is they maximized the situation at hand. And I think Jed is simply trying to do that. Just maximize every single deal. And if the deal can't be had, well, then we'll offer the qualifying offer and do it that way. Or we'll trade him in the offseason. I don't think it's a complete rebuild like 12, because if it was, guys, you would be trading Kyle Hendricks. And for all I know, they will in the offseason, but they're certainly not doing it today. So a full-on rebuild to me would be Kyle Hendricks being traded and or Wilson Contreras. So we're not quite there, but they're certainly tearing things down.
So the New York media is now all over the Mets like a hobo on a ham sandwich because
good job.
The Yankees have done Joey Gallo, they have done Anthony Rizzo, and reportedly they're not done because they want to add pitching and they don't want to go too far into the luxury tax. So the Cubs ate all the money, bought a couple prospects. The report from Andy Martino, I think it was at SNY, said the price, the Mets are like, that's extraordinary. That's just too much for Baez, Bryant, Zach Davies in play there as well. Does Jed hold firm and in the end go, either you pay it or I'm not going to give them to you?
It all depends if there's another team involved. You know, since the All-Star break, I've only heard the Mets seriously with Bryant. You know, people have talked about San Francisco simply because of the Scott Harris thing, but I have not heard a lot of traction there. I've only heard about the Mets. And so it's a game of chicken, right? The Mets know they want to get rid of them, but they're the only team they're the only team offering anything. So it's a game of chicken here. So I don't know. I think he's gone. I think he's gone because at the end of the day, you're still probably going to get more than you would in one lousy draft pick at the end of the year if you give him the qualifying offer. So, yes, I think the deal's going to get done. Now, I'm not saying for sure it's the Mets because we know surprise teams come out of nowhere. I mean, I'll tell you a quick inside baseball story about the Yankees. They completely feigned interest in Starling Marte and Chris Bryant and then went out and got Joey Gallo and Anthony Rizzo, to the point where I had a Yankee scout, I mentioned this on Waddle and Sylvie, ask me which position Bryant played better, third or the outfield, just kind of in passing, probably trying to plant that seed, right? And then they go out and they trade for Anthony Rizzo. No, Yankee scouts were at Wrigley Field. So, look, it's probably the Mets with Bryant, but it's no done deal. We'll see. There could be someone step up. I know the Rays have been looking at Bryant, but then they traded for Nelson Cruz. We'll see if there's a surprise team. So it just depends, Cap. I can't tell you. Look, he's hit doubles so far, Jed Hoyer, with these deals. Got another teenager in the Rizzo deal. You know, they got a lot of teenagers in these deals. He needs to hit a home run with Kimbrough and probably a triple with Bryant. I mean, he's a right-handed position player. You just don't get as much. You see all these lefties changing teams. But with Kimbrough, you got to hit the home run.
So earlier we talked about Anthony Rizzo suggesting. And so tell us, when you think about beloved Cubs, where do you place Rizzo all time in your lifetime?
Yeah, well, look, I saw a few of your tweets. And I listened a little bit. I do think he's the most beloved Cub of this generation, above Baez, above Bryant. Now, beloved is a different word than most popular. I think I've mentioned this to you before, pre-pandemic when I was traveling to 80 road games. From 18 to 20, I will tell you that Javi Baez was the most popular Cub on the road, hands down. From like 16 to 18, it was Chris Bryant, for obvious reasons. Bryant won an MVP. Baez finished second. They were the face of the teams on the road, fans, everything. But beloved from start to finish, Anthony Rizzo. I mean, I think people are hurting more today from Rizzo being moved than they would or will be if Bryant or Baez were moved. That's just fact. I think that's the case. People have an emotional tie to Anthony Rizzo in this city. I think you guys would agree with that. So I don't know if I'm going to put him ahead of Ernie Banks. I mean, it's Mr. Cub. What better, you know, label or nickname could you have? But for this generation, he's the most beloved Cub, and I say that easily.
By the way, Jason Stark just tweeted, Cubs still in discussions with at least 10 teams on Kimbrough. 10!
Yeah, I was waiting for you guys to ask me, and I was going to say exactly that. I don't know. He is so coveted, and it's the final piece for some contenders, and then it's these dreamers like the Phillies or some of these other teams that are kind of on the outskirts that would love him as well. That's how coveted he is, and that's why I just said this is where you hit the home run. You get doubles for the position players, maybe a nice triple for Bryant, but the home run, the grand slam, has to come from Kimbrel. Two major league ready players, maybe two more at the lower levels. That's what you have to get for Craig Kimbrel, in my opinion. Or if it's like a one for one, it's like a guy that is, you know, a stud number one, number two, number three kind of starter. I mean, you could go that route as well. So there's several routes to go. The more prospects you get, maybe you don't get the quality. But if you do a one for one or one for two, you better get some real quality.
So let me ask you this, Jesse. If you were the White Sox, and I know they would love to add another arm today and a more impactful arm than Ryan Tepera, and that's not a shot at him. They want to look and go, oh, God, we got to face Mookie Betts or whoever it is, Trey Turner's at the plate or this guy or that guy. And guess what? I'm bringing Kimbrel in. I got Liam Hendricks. I got this guy. I got that guy. Do you think they would do that? Because it's going to be painful if they had to do that.
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, like I think I've said before, the first person I'd ask for would be Crochet back. I'd ask for Kopech back, but you're not getting Kopech.
I'd ask for Andrew Vaughn. That's what I'd ask for.
No,
yeah, exactly.
Keep your beak out of White Sox business.
Okay,
yeah,
Kenny.
It's a deal. It's a deal that can't get done. Now, with so many other teams interested, you know how much Jed is going to ask for the White Sox to give them credit. It's just not going to happen. It's a great idea. The price would be just so high. It'd be like giving up everything just for this year, in my opinion. But I don't disagree with you. I think they might even need another lefty. I mean, La Russa has not shown a ton of faith. Now, bummer.
I'll throw in Kyle Ryan.
Bummer stranding that runner at third with no outs the other day was nice. Got some nice swings and misses. But I'm telling you, Tony is sent a message over the last week. And by the way, Jay Hood, take out two swings this week, and the White Sox are having a terrible week. Lance Lynn's two-run single and Eloy's home run. I mean, I'm not sure Cesar Hernandez was the upgrade they needed. I think Escobar would have been better for one simple reason. He's better against right-handed pitching than Hernandez. Hernandez has 11 home runs as a right-handed batter, 7 as a lefty. It's usually the other way around for switch hitters. I'm not sure they made the upgrade from the left side they need. But then again, they're getting Grandal back. Eloy's going to get back. But right now, you know, back into form. Right now, the last week or two, not very good at the plate for them, Jay Hood.
Okay, so could you get a player of that caliber without having to trade, you know, a player like Michael Kopech or Vaughn? That's the question, right? Because
are you going back to Kimbrel?
Yeah, no, I'm talking about, like, you mentioned the shortstop or second baseman that the Sox got.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Can you make that deal without having to give up Kopech or Sheets? Or some of the other young talent on the roster?
Absolutely. Even for Trevor Story, you wouldn't have to give off your major league roster. For Craig Kimbrel, you might have to. Mm-hmm. But that'd be about it. For Escobar or Story, you can dip down in the minors. Maybe you throw in Matt Foster, Evan Barnes, who knows, one of these guys back. If you're getting a reliever, you can maybe give up a reliever you don't have as much faith in. But you're not giving up an arm like Crochet for Eduardo Escobar. I don't know why the Brewers, who are stacked in the infield, traded for Escobar, and the Sox have a wide opening at second base, traded for Hernandez, assuming we all agree that Escobar is better than Hernandez, which I think he is, at least against right-handed pitching. So, no, you wouldn't have to give up much for any of the second basemen on the market.
Jesse, have a great rest of your day, a great weekend, and enjoy watching the Iowa Cubs on their road trip.
Against Juan Soto.
Yeah.
Seriously, guys, it's going to be an interesting day, end of an era. We'll talk soon.
All right, we'll talk to you. There he is, the great Jesse Rogers. And again.
White Sox, go, go, White Sox.
Let's go, 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 White
It's a free
Sox.
Ticket Friday.
Brought to you by our friends at Chicago Cut. The great David Flom and Matt Moore have cooked up the best restaurant in town. Sit along the river and enjoy an awesome meal.
And don't forget, it's the White Sox and Royals. Caller 10, regular line 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 for free Ticket Friday. Sox Royals tickets. If you want them, come and get them here on the Cap and J Hood Show.
There you go. Bears are practicing at Halas Hall again today. We'll update you on how the quarterbacks look and what kept Akeem Hicks out of practice yesterday. Next.
Cap. J-Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. This is Breaking News.
Whoa. Sponsored by the Points Bet Sportsbook.
On Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
We turn now to veteran newsman Dan Zunderman with breaking news here on Captain J. Hood. Dan.
Thank you very much, Jonathan. With all that's going on in the world of sports today, shall we not forget the Olympics are going on. Huge win for the U.S. women's national team. They won on penalties and is headed to the Olympic semifinals.
Get out of the way. Now we go to Tyler Aki with further analysis on this feat. Tyler.
Megan Rapinoe with the clincher for the U.S. women's national team. So Miss America putting it away.
We now go to David Kaplan. Your thoughts on the clincher?
I think it's outstanding for Team USA. It's a great moment for our country. And Megan Rapinoe's right-footed blast into the upper right corner was freaking amazing.
I was talking about softball when I asked you about the clincher, but I understand what you mean.
You're better than that. Get your beak out of there with your softball. Yeah, Megan Rapinoe. I'm just telling you, man, go back and watch the kick. That ain't human. Whoa!
You were saying about the Bears.
So, the Chicago Bears are hard at work toiling under the sun in Lake Forest. They have been a bit banged up here early in camp. In fact,
it's a great ball.
It is the clincher.
The softball.
Exactly. That's a softball. 16-inch.
Yes.
That's Chicago. Yesterday, Akeem Hicks did not practice. They have guys just banged up, but Matt Nagy was quick to relax.
Sure.
Nothing is that serious.
And you can understand, this is kind of the growing pains you have in training camp. We heard about Tariq Cohen as well. We hope that Tariq is ready for the season when it starts, right? Because we saw him when we called high school basketball together.
Correct.
He was still trying to get through his issues with his leg.
Right. Hoodie and I were doing a high school basketball tournament, and we looked across the court at Notre Dame High School in Niles.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I said to you, is that Tariq Cohen? I don't have my glasses on. You're like, yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
We went over. He was there with his girlfriend.
Yeah.
And I said, what are you doing here, man? He said, I love high school basketball. It's my favorite sport other than the NFL.
And that's something.
Loves it. And he sat there and watched game after game of this tournament.
He loves it, man.
Loves it. And he's a really, really good dude.
So when we see these reports coming in from Dan Weider or from Jeff Dickerson, we always realize that, yes, there's going to be growing pains and some cuts and bruises here and there, but nothing to see here, right?
No, it does not look like anything that we should be concerned about. Matt Nagy said they're very cautious with their guys. Tevin Jenkins just has a tight back. But he's losing reps, Hoodie. There's no question when you're trying to become the starting left tackle as a rookie who was mostly a right tackle in college, you're losing significant practice time to assimilate yourself not only into the offense, but the position change.
I think you guys are being a little too calm about this. I don't want to say that I'm an alarmist. But
oh,
this is
not you.
Not me. This is day three of camp, right? So we've got Akeem Hicks, second day of camp, not practicing. Matt Nagy didn't know that before he met the media. Then all of a sudden he finds out Akeem Hicks isn't practicing because he's got a sore foot. Rookie left tackle, Tevin Jenkins, who was, what, number two on Waddle's list of most important players? Or no, number three. It was Jenkins, then Mack, then Justin Fields. So number three on Waddle's list of most important players has not been cleared to practice yet because he has back tightness. He's missing opportunities to get comfortable at probably one of the most important positions on the offensive line. And then this one really bothers me also. Bears quarterback coach John DeFilippo is in COVID protocols.
Yes.
And he's not at practice. Well, you've got two brand new quarterbacks. You've got Andy Dalton, who everybody knows isn't the future, and you've got Justin Fields, who everybody knows is. And DeFilippo has to talk to them on Zooms. He's not there watching practice. He's not talking to his quarterbacks. He's not coaching them at practice. I mean, how can we not be alarmed that we're at day three and all this crap is going on?
You know why? Because we're not allowed to be there. Yeah, I'm reading about it online because we're not allowed to be on the sidelines. Yeah, apparently, Danny is broadcasting live from Hallis Hall. We're glad we got that strong report there. Because
he's got his beak right out there.
I'm telling you guys, like DeFilippo, he can't have any individual drills. He can't see his quarterbacks practice. How is this guy going to know what's going on? Like, I don't understand what's happening here. Tevin Jenkins in his back, Akeem Hicks in his foot.
Yeah, we're not allowed to be there, so we're just reading along with you. Unfortunately, Cap and I would like to be there, right there with the microphones, right there talking to the coaches.
Correct.
Finding out how this affects practice moving forward, but we're just broadcasting from buttermilk.
I saw it clear as day right from where I was eating my pancakes.
No, it's not a major concern at this point in time. But I tell you what, if this was happening in August or going close to September, boy, I'd be really upset. But it's just a few first days of camp. DeFilippo, though, with the protocol, he's getting all this information through Zoom, as we well know. And as Matt just said a moment ago to the press there at Hallis Hall, it's killing him not to be on the field. DeFilippo.
Right.
Killing him.
Because he lives for the 15 minutes that he gets to work one-on-one with the quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Yes, that is correct.
So now not allowed. But here it is, Danny. I would love to not be detached from the news. But we're not allowed to be there. So there you have it.
There you have it. 312-332-3.
Oh, I didn't mention Robert Quinn still hurt, guys.
Oh, would you get out of there with that?
Let's focus on that horrible
move. Keep your negative beak to yourself.
No, let's focus on that horrible move. Let's give Robert Quinn a ton of money for two sacks. He's injured all last year. Guess what? He didn't want to F up his summer, so he's still injured. Like, what's going on there?
I love New York Danny chiming in. Danny sounds like it's going to be for Rizzo if he goes 0-10 in New York.
You know who's happy Rizzo got traded yesterday and who's going to be happy when Chris Bryant gets traded today? The Bears. The Bears. They're hiding behind that.
We just saw right outside of our First Midwest Bank studios. You see these two kids? It was a mom and a dad, and there was two kids, and they were wearing Cubs jerseys. One Baez, the other one Bryant. Rizzo's out. He's out, Cap.
He's gone.
He's gone,
and the other two probably later today.
It would have been a cuter picture if it was like one little kid had Bryant, the other one had Rizzo. But since Rizzo's is out, it's Bryant and Baez.
I wonder if you go to the Cubs flagship store right now, how many of the jerseys are on sale?
Oh, I'm sure all of it. It's a clearance.
No. I bet you they're not. A Rizzo jersey is not something that has to go on sale because he's always going to be a beloved Cub. It's like wearing a Ditka jersey or an MJ jersey. Like, that will never go out of style.
I'm going to call there at the break. I'll bet you they're on sale.
No, see, I feel like Rizzo, Lester, those will always be in style because they'll always be associated with the 2016 team.
All right. Is Rizzo the most beloved Cub ever? We're going back to your calls. In 2 minutes.
Take that.